Good morning and welcome to worship with Greystone Online. Greystone is a loving congregation located in Northwest Raleigh. It's a place where all are welcome, no matter where you come from, no matter what you do professionally or in your spare time, there is a place for you to belong at Greystone, and we believe that we are better when we are all together, joined by the Holy Spirit in worship of God. Today marks 1 year that we have been gathering online for worship. Can you believe it's been 1 year since the NCAA tournament was canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic? I don't know about you, but I never imagined that we would be gathering in such a way for 52 weeks. Wow. As I think about the last 52 weeks and all that has unfolded for us as a church, as a community, As the body of Christ in this world, I am overwhelmed with gratitude for the many ways in which God has woven us closer together, in which God has given us opportunities to meet new people and to worship in new ways, kind of like speaking new languages. And so in the spirit of gratitude, we worship virtually today, and we look forward to the day when we can gather in person in just a few weeks outdoors for Easter Sunday at 10 a.m. But we're not at Easter yet. Today is also the fourth Sunday in the season of Lent. And this season, we at Greystone have decided to focus on the themes of truth and reconciliation, hoping that one day through true reconciliation, God will unite us as one community, one beloved fellowship. And so we have been thinking about concepts like telling hard truths and recognizing that we are all broken and imperfect humans. And yet somehow through God's grace, we are given an opportunity to be in relationship with one another and with God. And so we're letting scriptures guide us, but we are focusing on those themes of truth and reconciliation. And today we will hear a good word, a sermon from our brand new Minister of Worship, Music, and the Arts, Christian McIver. As we prepare for worship, we ask that the Holy Spirit might blow into our spaces, wherever it is that we are, wherever we're worshiping God today, that the Spirit might come into those spaces and open us, heart, mind, body, and soul, to the movement of God among us, around us, and within us. Let's worship God this day.
Give me strength, give me patience, 'cause in your hands my heart is clay. Give me compassion, give me mercy, show me the way. Give me strength, give me patience, 'cause in your hands my heart is clay. Give me compassion, give me mercy, show me the way.
Every blessing, tune my heart. As we draw near to God in this time of confession, let us remember these words from the Gospel of John. "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, for people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now, as we pray, let us uncover our sin before the liberating light of Christ. Merciful God, we confess the folly of our sin and the hypocrisy of our complaints. We denounce the evils in the world even as we commit injustices and profit through deceit. We grumble about the scarcity of resources while hoarding the earth's goods and cheating the poor. We protest the problems of our world, but we do not work to address them. Merciful God, expose our sins to us before the light of your grace. Heal sin and free us from our foolish ways, that we may know the joy of eternal life in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Missionaries. That's what we used to call them. Now we call them CBF field personnel. Our Cooperative Baptist Fellowship supports over 60 field personnel in places they have been called to serve in 30 countries around the world and right here in Raleigh, North Carolina with the Wyatts. Your gift this month to our CBF Global Missions offering helps pay the salaries of these people as they share God's love through many ways, including Bible study, starting new churches, gardening and other ways of feeding people, work with refugees, housing, education, and much more. Our church goal this year is $3,999.99. I challenge each of you, after watching the video, to be motivated to give generously to this offering. You can give online through our website, or mail a check to the address shown on our website, or even drop it off at the church. 100% of your gift will go directly to support the salaries of our field personnel and their mission work around the world.
They went through the Second World War, and now this war got them pretty bad too. They came here as refugees, and for elderly couple being here, you know, like them, it's very hard to start new life.
The worst thing was the language barrier. We didn't know the language, so there was nothing we could do. I even went to school, but still didn't manage to learn it. A friend found out that the church was giving out food and advised me that we should also sign up there. Then we met Mira and Sasha. Ever since then, we have become good friends.
They're like, let's say, like my parents. I feel like they're really part of me and my family. If we have anything for building to be fixed, he asked Sasha, just take me, I'm gonna help you out. Even today, when they cannot come anymore to food pantry because they're in their 70s, Milan, he has dementia. We are taking bags after food pantry for them, and the Kata will always prepare the lunch for us. So we will eat together with them and then talk.
More like a family. We are always there for each other. Whenever there is a celebratory occasion like birthdays or something like that, they always pick us up and drop us off at home later. We are fine here. We have this little apartment for two of us.
Please pray with me. Loving God, as we look at the year that has been, we come to you with heavy and yet hopeful hearts. It has been a year of grief, of loss, of sorrow. We have lost loved ones, faces we will not see when we return to fellowship with each other. We grieve their loss, the loss of their smiles, hugs, wisdom, and support. And we have endured much, from virtual school to virtual work, to frontline service to keep our communities going. We have persevered even when it felt like too much. So many are so tired. It has been a year. And yet we have much to be thankful for and much to celebrate. In the midst of this pain, new life has come into our church and community. Love has been celebrated through the union of couples on our campus and elsewhere, and healing has happened too. God, we know that you are with us in the pain and the joy, in the quiet moments of grief and the profound moments of jubilation. We are grateful for your presence in our lives and for the presence of this community where we find you each and every day. As we continue in this Lenten journey to the cross, continue to be with us. Show us your love. Help us to show that love to each other in each and every moment of our days. In your name we pray. Amen.
I will be reading from Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. From death to life. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In February of 1965, jazz saxophonist John Coltrane released the album A Love Supreme. The liner notes to this album were unique, to say the least, as they included a letter to the listener explaining that the album was Coltrane's offering to God, a way of thanking God for God's grace. Back in 1957, after being fired from Miles Davis's quintet due to his drug and alcohol use, Coltrane went home to Philadelphia to get right with himself. He stopped taking heroin, stopped drinking alcohol, and rededicated himself to music. In his letter to the listener, he explains, "During the year 1957, I experienced, by the grace of God, a spiritual awakening, which was to lead me to a richer, fuller, more productive life. At that time, in gratitude, I humbly asked to be given the means and privilege to make others happy through music. I feel this has been granted through God's grace." Coltrane goes on to explain that the album is his way of saying thank you, God, through his work. In 1965, the U.S. was in the middle of a social and cultural revolution. The Civil Rights Act had been passed the previous year, helping to break down dividing walls of racial segregation in schools and public accommodations, as well as discrimination in the workplace. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 would soon follow, securing voting privileges for people of color throughout the country, thus building up and diversifying the nation's body of voters. And in October, Congress would pass the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, ending discriminatory policy preferences for white European immigrants and inviting more people into the country than ever before. At the same time, America's youths were being drawn in by hippie culture with its message of peace and love as the conflict in Vietnam escalated. In the midst of all this social and cultural change, Coltrane's spiritual awakening had sent him on a search for truth in music. In a 1966 interview, he declared, "I know that there are bad forces, forces that bring suffering to others and misery to the world. I want to be the opposite force. I want to be the force which is truly for good." Through God's saving grace, Coltrane had experienced reconciliation with himself, reconciliation with God, and now he was looking to bring reconciliation to the world through music. Driven to create music with both universal and personal appeal, he once said, "It seems to me that the audience in listening is in an act of participation, you know? Eventually, the listeners move right along with the musicians." A Love Supreme would come to be known as John Coltrane's masterpiece, widely regarded as one of the most influential and successful jazz albums of all time. It continues to draw in new generations of listeners, and Coltrane himself is still considered by many to have been a profound spiritual leader, even revered as a saint by a particular church in San Francisco. Through Coltrane's creative work, he helped much of the world realize that, as he put it in a line from the poem in his liner notes, "We are all one in God's grace." The author of today's text likely found themselves within a similar kind of sociocultural situation, addressing a new and growing church as it was learning how to welcome and build community with those who were previously considered to be other. While Ephesians is attributed to Paul, stylistic and theological differences from Paul's undisputed letters have led many scholars to believe that the letter was actually written in the late 1st century by a Jewish Christian admirer of Paul who sought to interpret Paul's thinking for the context of the church in their own day. Likely intended to be circulated throughout a number of churches in Asia Minor, Ephesians encourages a vision of an inclusive, diverse, universal church where through Christ, Jews and Gentiles have been united in one new community, reconciled to each other and to God. One of the key theological themes of Ephesians is that of salvation by grace through faith. As we hear in both verses 5 and 8 of today's text, "By grace you have been saved." Here, salvation is understood as an event that has already occurred for individuals who have accepted God's grace through Christ, and it is also ongoing in the building up of the body of Christ through the good works for which God created us. By God's grace we have been saved, and this calls us to participate in the salvation of all creation. As our author tells us, this requires a kind of interdependent, threefold process of reconciliation. Reconciliation with self, reconciliation with God, and reconciliation of the world. 20th century Protestant theologian Paul Tillich spoke of the state of existence as being that of estrangement. Human beings, he said, are estranged from their own selves, from the ground of their being, and from other things. Today's scripture puts this in starker terms, telling us, "You were dead, following the desires of flesh and senses as children of wrath." It's interesting to note here that the Greek word translated as wrath, orges, is derived from a word that denotes an internal motion of plants and fruits swelling and growing ripe for cutting, separation from the vine. Our beliefs lead to thoughts and actions, and by allowing ourselves to be influenced by anything but the way of Christ's love, we are choosing death over life, separation rather than unity. From this perspective, salvation can be understood to mean healing in the sense of reuniting that which has been estranged. By God's grace, we are healed and made whole by coming into relationship with and accepting our true identity in Christ. We can choose that which gives life over death in the ultimate act of self-reconciliation. And as the author of Ephesians goes on to stress later in the letter, there are many different ways that we, as individuals, live into this identity according to our unique gifts. In a class in divinity school a couple years ago, I participated in a very simple exercise that can be helpful in leading toward this kind of self-reconciliation. In a class of about 20 students, paired-off partners took turns asking each other a series of questions that were in fact the very same question repeated over and over. The first question was, "What is important to you?" At the end of that and each successive answer, the follow-up question was simply, "And why is that important to you?" Within less than 2 minutes, just about everyone in the room was led more or less to the same answer, which was essentially life, not death. Reflecting on the path that leads to that answer can be useful in reaffirming our identity in Christ, our truest self, and in discerning how to use our diverse spiritual gifts to live as Christ in the world. In choosing life over death and coming to reconciliation with our own true selves in Christ, we are thus also reconciled to God in accepting God's grace. The Greeks had three words that translate as love, and the word used in verse 4 of today's text, agape, refers to the kind of selfless love that focuses on the welfare of the other person rather than one's own self-interest. Agape is the love with which God loves us, and it is as much a doing as a feeling word. It requires action. In today's text, God's love prompts God to freely offer saving grace to those who have not earned it. Salvation is not transactional, but a relational process. The grace of God is always drawing us back to God. And when we let the Spirit move us to love as God has loved us, we actively participate in the salvation of all creation. This is clarified in verse 10, which the NRSV translates as, "For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Here the Greek term translated as "what God has made us" is poema, which can also mean work of art or masterpiece. Within the Septuagint, the earliest surviving Greek version of the Hebrew Scriptures, this term is widely used to refer to the work of an artisan and to God's own activity. The verb translated here as create, ktsizum, is only used in the New Testament to refer to God's creative activity. In accepting grace, we are reconciled to God and offered salvation in Christ, allowing us to function as God's creative action in the world. Our good works have not saved us, but they are part of the goal that God had in mind in saving us. As God's works of art, we become participants and co-creators in God's ultimate masterpiece of a reconciled, renewed creation. In the mid-1960s, at the same time John Coltrane was making his contribution to God's masterpiece through music, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was participating by organizing demonstrations of nonviolent direct action with the goal of bringing about racial justice and reconciliation. Dr. King believed that divine grace supplements human freedom, and the two cooperate in humanity's redemption. He understood the interdependent nature of reconciliation, which comes about in the world through a spirit of justice. "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere," he said. "We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny." K. King's methods for social reform were based on agape love, which he understood as a selfless love in which the individual seeks not their own good, but the good of their neighbor. It makes no distinction between friend and enemy. It is directed toward both. He believed that because we have been graciously loved by God, our call is to share that love with the world. This interpretation of agape gave King a strong commitment to unity, as he believed that agape means a recognition of the fact that all life is interrelated. All humanity is involved in a single process. This recognition of the interrelatedness of things, King argued, brings about a responsibility to lovingly seek justice for all. He noted, "When I am commanded to love, I am commanded to restore community, to resist injustice, and to meet the needs of my siblings." Through all of his justice work, King remained committed to the nonviolent philosophy that was based upon his interpretation of agape love, believing the end is redemption and reconciliation. The aftermath of nonviolence is the creation of the beloved community. With the goal of building beloved community through justice, Dr. King's mission was to help us see that there is no them or those people when we're overtaken by the inclusive beauty and power of God's love. There is only us. We are all one in God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 4, the author describes this building of beloved community, our participation in co-creating God's masterpiece, as building up the body of Christ. Contemporary Franciscan priest Richard Rohr understands this body of Christ to be the cosmic Christ, which is much bigger and older than either Jesus of Nazareth or the Christian religion, because the Christ is wherever the material and the divine coexist, which is always and everywhere. The body of Christ is the body of God, all creation. We work to build up the body of Christ through participating in God's active love in our physical world that works to break down barriers and bring about reconciliation. As Richard Rohr explains, the coming of the cosmic Christ is not the same as the growth of the Christian religion. It is the unification of all things. Thursday of this past week marked a year since the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a global pandemic. It's been a year of estrangement and separation unlike any we've known. As we continue on our Lenten journey together in preparation for the resurrection life we see on the horizon, let us have the discipline and humility to use this time to care for ourselves and get right with God so we can go out and heal the world. Let us choose life in Christ over death and accept God's grace so we might use our gifts to be the co-creators of God's masterpiece. Let's work to bring all back to one in God's grace. Amen.
Through seasons of drought and seasons of rain, will we be weakened or will we sustain? We will reap just what we sow. As the heavens drip and the gardens sprout, the mountains quake and the stones cry out, let your rivers of justice flow. We will treat every neighbor with love and with grace as we share the same journey through time and through space. We will care for our planet from the land to the sea, connected in creation's unity here on earth, beloved community. As the storms they surge and the temperatures rise, and the people in power believe their own lies, we'll stay rooted in the vine. Our love will not fail, compassion won't cease, interconnected as agents of peace. As our hearts in you align, We will treat every neighbor with love and with grace as we share the same journey through time and through space. We will care for our planet from the land to the sea, connected in creation's unity here on earth. Beloved community. We will treat every neighbor with love and with grace as we share the same journey through time and through space. We will care for our planet from the land to the sea, connected in creation's unity here on earth. Beloved community. Here on earth. Beloved community.
Good morning, and thank you for worshiping with us. We are so glad that you found us and that you joined us here this morning. There are several ways that you can continue being part of the life of Greystone in the week and weeks to come, and we want to tell you just a few of those. First, you'll see I'm out here at my picnic table enjoying the sunshine with all of my markers and colored pencils and everything around me. There's a couple of reasons for that. First is that I just got done talking to our children about our Lenten journey and how we are going through that together. You can check that out on our church's YouTube page if you want to see what the kids are talking about. And also, because I printed out our prayers for remembering a year of COVID. This is our 53rd Sunday morning virtual service, believe it or not. And this week we emailed you some ways that you could pray, or if you're adventurous enough, you can color your way through your prayers to mark that year of COVID and to remember, to mourn, to celebrate the things that we've missed, the things that we're hopeful for, the things that we have learned in this year. On Wednesday night, Pastor Chrissy will hold a Let's Chat time on Zoom, and surviving a year of COVID, all of the things that we have missed, all of the things that we have learned and gained, and all of the things that we are so looking forward to getting back to will be the topic of conversation. So if you want to get together and talk with some folks about kind of where you are, they would love to have some company. Pastor Chrissy will be there and to help guide you through that conversation, and I hope that you will join them on Wednesday evening on Zoom. All that information is in your email. Also want to remind you that on Easter Sunday morning, we will gather together as a church and worship outdoors together live. That service will also be live streamed on our YouTube channel, as well as radio broadcast. If you want to be with us in person but still have your own space, you can join us in the parking lot and listen to it from your radio. It will be a glorious morning indeed, and we hope that you will join us in whatever way you feel most comfortable. Our leadership council meets this afternoon on Zoom at 4 o'clock. So make sure that if you are supposed to be part of that, or if you just want to come check out and listen to what we're doing, that you do that. And again, that information is in your email. Also want to remind you that we have a church conference coming up on March 28th. That will be on Zoom as well at 4 o'clock. So go ahead and mark your calendars so that you can learn more about what is going on in our church and how to continue being a part of us as we keep moving forward. Also, please don't forget that our offering for global missions is still going on. We are working towards that $3,999.99 goal, and we would love for you to join us. That offering goes straight to the missionaries that are in field personnel that are working with CBF, our partner for Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and all the work that they are doing locally and around our state, around our world. We'd love for you to be a part of that. You can given all of the ways that you give your offering by mailing that in or doing so online, just make sure that you mark that offering for the Offering for Global Missions so that we get it put in the right place. Again, we are so glad that you have joined us. If something today touched your heart or made you think a little bit, we'd love for you to share that on social media. It's a way of inviting folks to join you for church in this unusual, yet now we're kind of getting used to it, time of going to church on TV. But we would love for you to share us with those around you. See you soon.
We will walk with God, my brothers. We will walk with God. We will walk with God, my sisters. We will walk with God. We will go rejoicing till the kingdom has come. We will go rejoicing till the kingdom has come. He's a humble nudge, oh, oh, oh. He's a humble nudge. He's a humble nudge, oh, oh, oh. He's a humble nudge. Nunca winda una, he's a humble nudge. Nunca winda una, he's a humble nudge. We will walk with God, my brothers. We will walk with God. We will walk with God, my sisters. We will walk with God. We will go rejoicing till the kingdom has come. We will go rejoicing till the kingdom has come.
As you leave this time of worship and return to your lives, receive this benediction.
May we choose to live as the Christ of liberation. May we accept the grace of God who brings salvation. May we let the Spirit lead to justice and reconciliation as we join as one to heal all of creation.
Amen.